best-selling author, speaker, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Best-selling author and apologist, Dylan Burrows.
Together bringing you truth for a new generation. This is TNG Radio.
I read a quote recently that said, when the world changes, all commitments must be renewed. I'll explain about that quote in just a moment and why I felt led to use it in today's show, but I want to welcome you to TNG Radio. My name is Alex McFarland. Dylan Burrows is on the road traveling with his family. He'll be back with us. So today, it's just me, and I was praying about what to share, and I was reading a lot of newspaper headlines and a lot of the pundits interpreting the recent election and a lot of the promises, maybe even warnings of some of the people that got elected. And folks, this is a really interesting time. Frankly, it's an unsettling time in the life of our nation because for the first time in our Congress, in our government, are elected Muslims, openly gay officials, pro-drug, pro-marijuana legalization officials, but overwhelmingly, pervasively, more and more, our House and Senate and our seats of government are getting occupied. The driver's seat is being put in the hands of progressives. So what we're going to do on today's show, we're going to talk about the lexicon and the vocabulary for a changing world. These are some things you need to know about. And I want to read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 5. And as I'm sure you know, Isaiah was written about 750 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Amazing. This major, major Old Testament prophet. Sometimes Isaiah is called the miniature Bible because the prophet Isaiah talks about the virgin birth of Christ, the fall of Satan to become Lucifer, the end of time, the millennial kingdom, and so much in Isaiah, again, written centuries before the birth of Christ, really does share the gospel and portend the coming of the Savior and his ultimate kingdom. And in Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about, beginning at verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they continue until night, and they are inflamed by wine, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands." So in other words, they party all day long, they party all night, they engage in just debauchery because they don't know God, they don't know salvation, they don't even consider the work of the Creator. And verse 14 talks about, because of the great number of people that reject God and just pursue sin and that which is false, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and the multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend down into it." So hell is open wide. The mouth of hell is an immeasurably large portal for so many people that reject God and reject truth and follow sin. Maybe in Matthew 25:41, Jesus had this in mind when he talked about, quote, hell prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, man was never intended to go to hell. God so loved the world that he sent his son to be the Savior. In fact, Jesus was designated to be the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world before the earth was even created. And so God, in his love, he knew that we would disobey and we would sin and we would deserve judgment, but God sent his son to be our Savior. But in light of this, the fact that there is a plan of salvation and there are warnings against hell and the promise of heaven, but people still disbelieve. In verse 20 of Isaiah 5 says this, and this, if ever there were a verse for our times, this is it. And it does relate to the word list I want to go over with you in this program. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." These are different types of ethical relativism. They're putting forth evil, but they call it good. And they condemn that which really is good and call it evil. And they put out darkness and they call it light. And they condemn true light. They call it darkness. And they promise sweetness, but it's really bitterness. And they condemn truth. And they say that that would be a destructive road. We're in those times. And with an election coming up, I want to say, listen very carefully. You, dear friend, need to care about the future of this country, not because your home is not in heaven. If you're a born-again believer, truly, our ultimate residence is heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And people might say, well, why would we care about this country? I mean, the world is growing darker, evil men wax worse and worse. Well, the Word of God tells us that we are to pray for kings, for those in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:2-4. You need to care about this country. You really do have an obligation before God to care about the spiritual condition of the country and the leadership of the country, so that we may have an America that is most conducive to the spread of the gospel. Now, I want to give you some words, and these are very important because it might sound like silliness. It might sound like a nonsensical talk, what these words say, but what they really mean. And the meanings that are held closely by those who use these words and phrases. But we need to talk about this because as we near the 2020 election, listen, if you, like myself, are going to try to see the president get reelected and his Christian vice president, Mike Pence, if you are proudly thankful that Brett Kavanaugh, who believes in the Constitution and believes in the sanctity of human life, and he believes in freedom of religious expression, your constitutionally protected rights, and he believes in what's called natural law, that's moral truth. If you're saying, hey, I'm glad that he was confirmed to the Supreme Court, as I am, be ready, folks. Be ready to be shamed, embarrassed. There'll be attempts to humiliate you by professed Christians. Get ready. Neil Gorsuch, a constitutionalist, and heaven forbid that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has any physical problems. We're praying for her, but she's been in the hospital recently. Her seat will come vacant soon on the Supreme Court, and be assured there will be a street fight to try to prevent the president from appointing yet another constitutionalist, although we should want that. Now, those of us that are have a little age on us, doesn't matter. We understand how to stand strong. But I think about young people that really have it hard and have never lived in an America where patriotism was affirmed and people understood the link between Christianity and our Constitution. Now stay tuned. Very important show. We're going to come back after this break on today's edition of TNG Radio.
You know, Alex has been writing for many years, and one of his classic books is still great today as a basic introduction to the Christian faith. It's called Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. This book will help you help your teens get off the roller coaster of doubt and onto solid ground. You'll read about the six pillars of biblical Christianity. They are 1, inspiration of the Bible, 2, the virgin birth, 3, the deity of Christ, 4, atonement, 5, Christ's resurrection, and 6, Christ's return. You know, Alex mixes it up with humor and stories he gleaned from decades of working with youth and encourages teens to build a foundation of faith that will stabilize their lives and help them take a stand for Christ. Simple and straightforward, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. Available wherever Christian books are sold.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Welcome back to TNG Radio. TruthForANewGeneration.com is our website. Alex McFarland here. So glad to have you with us. We're talking about lexicon and vocabulary in a changing America. And while we continue on this topic, I do want to encourage you to visit our website, TruthForANewGeneration.com. You can visit my website and look at my speaking calendar on AlexMcFarland.com. A lot of exciting things coming up for 2019, not the least of which is our trip to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove. I'll be there March 22nd through 24th. We'll be doing a prophecy study going through Daniel and Revelation. And the Cove is beautiful. The scenery is amazing. The food is tremendous. And the fellowship, meeting with people throughout America to study God's Word. And so go to the website, thecove.org. My own seminar, March 22nd through 24th. Would love to meet you there, and many other seminars are coming up as well. The other thing I want to tell you is that all of our broadcasting events and publishing, it's what we do. We're presenting the gospel, defending the faith, equipping believers of all ages, and we do this through broadcasting events and publishing. We do two radio shows, a television show. We do events, large and small. We do events of 200 people. We do events of 2,000 people all over the country. And then publishing. Right now, I've just got three cases of our apologetics books in Spanish that are on their way to California. And by God's grace, we distribute $40,000 to $50,000, sometimes $60,000 worth of literature a year. And all of these things that in 2018, as far as we know, brought around 3,000 souls to Christ. We could only do it with your help. And so please pray about sending us a gift, a tax-deductible gift in any amount. We need your help. We are partners in the gospel. We will send you a package of our prayer guide for America. It's a package of evangelistic praying for America and revival praying for America. Some very tangible, very clear suggestions on how you can pray for this country. And if you would support us, we'll send you some of these you can use in your church. You can write to us at P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404, or you can donate online. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But before the break, I was talking about the fact that as we near the 2020 presidential election, be prepared for certainly the left, but even professed evangelicals using words like the words I want to give you in this list. Listen very carefully, and I'll unpack some of these. Words like social justice, words like gender fluidity, speaking of our Constitution as, quote, a living document. They'll be talking about being progressive, not regressive, classism, safe space, hate speech, freedom of belief, collective liberation, shaming, distributed intelligence. We'll come back to that one. And of course, the big tolerance. There are words like calling out. So-and-so is called out for their intolerance or their hate. And words like shading. In other words, if I'm going to make you feel bad for having a belief or having a conviction, I'll throw shade on you. Now, one of the reasons I felt led to do this program, I'm a student of architecture. I love architecture. And there's a genre of architecture called brutalism. You know, we were in the postmodern era. In other words, we don't believe in truth anymore. And there have been architects like Frank Gehry, who he almost took Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, one universe farther. Frank Lloyd Wright was pretty avant-garde and did things that were not conventional. But there are architects today that are just, they don't even want to follow the building code. And they feel like if they're going to fully express their creativity, they shouldn't even have to follow any rules. And some of the structures they make look weird, and they leak, and they are not even safe to be in. There are architectural styles like, you know, early American and Craftsman and mid-century modern, Atomic Ranch, Art Deco. But now there's a whole school called Brutalism. Because, listen, we're living in the post-modern, post-truth era. Sometimes people talk about hyper-modernism. Everything is just crazy, high-speed, ADD, on the web, clicking through websites, scanning just a glance for a fraction of a second. And we really are in a changing world, fundamentally because, like I said in Isaiah 5:20, we have cut ourselves loose from the Word of God, the reality of God, the truth of God, and now people are making their own truth. And part of the whole progressive movement traces itself to two names, and I don't know if you know all these names, and if you don't, that's fine. But in the mid-20th century, there was a French philosopher named Michel Foucault, and he wrote a book about insanity and the state. Now, listen carefully. The structure of the West that was based on Christianity, they call that insane. And if we want to set ourselves free and really be reasonable, we've got to get rid of God and get rid of truth and get rid of reasoning and rationality. In other words, if you believe in God and Christianity and truth and reason and logic, to them, that's insane. And so, listen, if architecture today is brutal, if it's postmodern, no design, no rhyme or reason, it really is an outflow of philosophy that was being sown in the classrooms 50 years ago. Sometimes it's politely called continental philosophy, but it really was this anti-Christian, anti-truth worldview that was based on three things. Listen carefully. Anti-realism, relativism, and subjectivism. Michel Foucault and his peers would have denied the reality of the real world. There is no reality. We make our own reality. And there are no moral truths. The world is relativistic. We call the shots. And then ultimately, the God is my own perspective. Subjectivism. There is no objective truth. Everything is subjective. I call the shots. Now stay tuned, because I want to go over some words that you need to know and some concepts that where this topsy-turvy, upside down, 180 degrees out of phase world came from. It's all going to make sense, and we're going to give a Christian response to it when TNG Radio continues. Stay tuned.
Christians don't necessarily agree with one another when it comes to questions of religious pluralism, homosexuality, the role of government, abortion, and war. Too often we manage these disagreements by ignoring them. Yet we're called to engage the world for the sake of Christ. How can we be effective if we avoid society's most pressing questions? In 10 issues that divide Christians, Alex McFarland challenges us to drill down to the biblical core of 10 current issues, such as social justice, evil and suffering, pornography, and environmentalism, as he echoes the biblical invitation, "Come, let us reason together." Only by engaging the scriptures deeply, thinking clearly, and speaking truthfully can we in God's family address our differences and discover the peace that comes with unity of purpose. 10 Issues That Divide Christians. Find this book and many others at alexmcfarland.com.
1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready always to give an answer for the hope we have. We're instructed to be prepared to defend our faith. This is Alex McFarland for the Life Answers Teams, students we train at North Greenville University, a leading Christian college in South Carolina. The Life Answers Teams are made up of students who will inspire and equip your congregation. These apologetics teams we train speak in churches, to youth groups, and train Christians of all ages to address key issues of our times from a biblical perspective. Like, is there a God? Is the Bible true? What about gender and moral issues? Call me at 864-977-2008, and we will arrange for the Life Answers team to come to your church and give a presentation that will benefit your people for years to come. 864-977-2008, and always be ready. Welcome back to TNG Radio. You know, a lot of what I'm going over today you can find in my book, 10 Issues That Divide Christians, published by Bethany House. You can find it online. You can find it anywhere. We've got it in our own e-store as well at alexmcfarland.com. 10 Issues That Divide Christians. I will say it's a meticulously footnoted book, several hundred endnotes and footnotes, because we know that when we make claims, we have to be able to back them up. But let me go over kind of where the world is and how it got there. There was a book by a man named William Lind, L-I-N-D, called Who Stole Our Culture? And it talks about, the Frankfurt School. Now, in World War II Germany, in Frankfurt, there was a school. And to escape the oppression of Hitler, they moved to America. And now the Frankfurt School is housed at Columbia University. And really, this Frankfurt School that was influenced by the continental relativistic philosophy of Europe that is tied to Michel Foucault and Simone de Beauvoir, that was really the champion for egalitarianism, all this gender fluidity that you can change your gender by thinking about it, traces itself to a lot of these European pagans, really. I have to say, they were atheists. They scorned Christianity. But the Frankfurt School was really the birthplace of political correctness and neo-Marxism. And there was a man named Antonio Gronsky. He was an Italian Marxist in the 1930s. And he understood this, that the only way to change the Western world was to defeat the church, because they couldn't understand it. They believed that if they promised money and a free lunch to the workers, that the proletariats and the bourgeoisie would follow the communists and the Marxists. But interestingly enough, the rank and file people in Europe, many of them were true to the leaders. They couldn't understand it. And Gronsky and a lot of the Frankfurt Marxists understood the people in Europe had a moral compass. It was the residue of their Christianity. So listen carefully to this phrase. There was, quote, the long march through the institutions, end of quote. Now think about this. The Marxists in Europe, this is 70, 80, 90 years ago, they saw one obstacle standing against them and the implementation of communism and socialism, and it was the church. And not only the church and the moral sensibility that imparted to the population, but the schools that were largely based on Christianity too. So, quote, the long march through the institutions, that was their understanding that they had to infiltrate the schools, the churches, the governments to destroy Christianity, and they could implement their Marxism. And the Lind book, Who Stole Our Culture, will help you understand that. And you've got to understand that here in America, since the post-war era, really since, I would say, 52, 53, 54, and the push to make our public schools anti-American, anti-constitutionalist, and certainly anti-Christian, this really began in earnest about the time, interestingly, of the youth culture movement of the 1950s. And the post-war era was very prosperous and affluent. Suddenly, kids could have a car, or at least have access to a car. Youth had their own music. And suddenly, there was this wedge of distrust and really animus between teens and adults. Nowadays, political operatives have leveraged this so much. And I want to say this is why you need to be praying for our Constitution. There are voices that purport to be Christian. And in future shows, I'm going to name some names, and it will shock you. But there are voices that want to shame you for trying to defend our country. They want to make you try and feel bad, like you're not being Christian. If you believe in responsible immigration, if you believe in American sovereignty, if you believe in our friendship with the nation of Israel, even things like the constitutionally protected right to life, you're not being Christian. And some of the words they're using are like the word social justice. which really is a word that comes to us from a Christian, Alexander Hamilton, in the Federalist Papers. He uses the word social justice, but it's not like the liberals today use it. To Hamilton and those that were trying to implement this newly penned constitution, we could only have a just culture is if we had God and morality. Now, it's amazing in the Federalist Papers, like Federalist number 15, to have money without morals. Hamilton uses words like tragic and imbecilic and repugnant and irreconcilable, absurd, impractical, to think that we can have a government and a society without God. Keep your eyes open and your ears attuned for the word moral witness. They're going to be professed Christians that they're going to say, look, if you stand for Donald Trump, you've compromised your moral witness. False. False. Let me say, the president and his cabinet is probably the most pro-Christian cabinet in our lifetime. I would appeal to your constitutional responsibility, like the Bible says, praying for those in authority, that we could have a culture most conducive to the spread of the gospel. Now, Alexander Hamilton, from more than 200 years ago, he talks about those that want to look good in the eyes of an ungodly world. He says this, is respectability in the eyes of foreign powers a safeguard against foreign encroachments? And the answer is no. Listen, those leftists, those pagans that so many professed Christians so covet their approval and their respectability, those people don't care a thing for the Word of God. They don't care about our Constitution and the blood that was shed to birth it and to preserve it. Listen, number one, know Jesus. Number two, know His Word. Number three, let the Holy Spirit strengthen you to stand for truth. We're in a battle. And back to Isaiah 5, what happened that hell had to be enlarged? What happened that they called good evil and evil good? They abandoned the word of the Lord. For the salvation of your soul, the preservation of our country, the perpetuation of our freedoms, we have to know the word of God and stand for it. And TNG is here to help you do that.
Truth for a New Generation, in association with Alex McFarland Evangelistic Ministries, exists to equip Christians with a biblical worldview through conferences and camps. For information about upcoming events, visit truthforanewgeneration.com or give us a call at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com or truthforanewgeneration.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.